My name's Sarah Dewing, and I'm the founder and chair of the Emily Davison Memorial Project.
And for the listeners that aren't aware about what the project's been doing, please explain to them why the project was created.
Okay, it started right back in 2013, actually. As a resident, quite a long-term resident of Epsom, I was vaguely aware of this event up at the Derby, where the suffragette was ended up dying because she ran in front of the King's horse, but didn't know any more about it than that. And then in 2013, I got wind of the fact that the council were organising some events to celebrate the centenary of her death. And I happened to know one of the councillors, so I just emailed him and said, "Oh, what's going on?" And he said, "Why don't you come and, you know, join us at the committee meeting?" So I kind of got involved in those events back then. And I had just graduated as a fine arts student, mature student that year. No, a couple of years before, actually. And so I was thinking, oh, wow, it'd be great to have a piece of, you know, public art as a memorial to Emily in Epsom. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then, just a long story short, it kind of got going, and then I abandoned it for a while because the original plan wasn't working out. And then come the 2018, which was the centenary of some women getting the vote, Paul Taylor, who's my sort of right-hand man in the EDMP, met me at a function in Epsom, and he said, "Oh, you're going to start it up again." And that's kind of when it got started in its current form, because I had actually spoken to Christine, the artist, back in 2013 about the project. But at the time, we were looking for something a bit different than a representational bronze statue. But I thought, well, the council are really quite keen, because they're redeveloping the marketplace, to have something in the town centre, which originally it was going to be on the Downs. I thought a statue would be perfect there. So I contacted Christine. She was really excited. We gave her the commission, and 3 years later, 3.5 years later, we've managed to get to this point. So, it's been... You know, like all these projects, it's had its challenges and ups and downs, but we've made it.
And some would argue that it's come at a better time, although it's been delayed. It's come at a time when women are very much at the forefront of, I know we've had the Me Too movement, but equality, it's really come to the forefront over the last couple of years, especially.
Absolutely. And that's kind of one of the things that we're keen to do with this statue and the unveiling is actually... on the one hand, yes, we want to commemorate Emily and her role in the suffragette movement back in the 20th century. But we also are really keen that she still remains relevant to today's generation and also into the future as a sort of a symbol of, the struggles for gender equality, and also, that there is still there are still issues that need to be addressed, and we've still got some way to go. So. We very much want to kind of make her a symbol for not just local people, obviously, because hopefully people will come from far and wide to see her, but that she's seen as a kind of a signifier of the fact that you know, women's equality is still an ongoing issue.
We know that she died at Epsom Downs Racecourse. Why was the decision made to have her in the town centre and maybe not on the Downs?
She actually didn't die on the racecourse.
She
was
she
injured.
4 days later, wasn't it?
Later at the old cottage hospital, at the cottage hospital, which is now the old cottage hospital in Epsom. I think it was because we felt that she would get more exposure there. The more people, the part of the design is we have her sitting on a bench with space next to her, so people can sit there and engage with her. So we felt that. Well, the reason we wanted to do that was we wanted to make Emily or represent Emily as a real human person, because in the past, you know, her she's been characterised as a mad woman and a very much sort of one dimensional person who, you know, did this reckless thing and all of this. And Christine and I both did a lot of research. We spoke to family up in Northumberland. And there's been several books written more recently that really do paint a much more humane picture of her. And she was a very intelligent, courageous, determined woman. So we wanted to make her accessible so people could sit and kind of interact with her. And we just felt the Market Square would be the right place because that's where most people congregate in Epsom.
Thank you. Hi, Christine. So Sarah's been telling me a bit of the background to the project, and you've come in at a really good time, actually, because it can segue quite nicely into how you came up with the idea for the statue.
Well, discussing things with Sarah, I don't know whether she said that if you have a statue that's standing on a big plinth, you have to get planning permission. If you have a statue that's sitting on a bench, which is what our Emily is doing, you don't need planning permission. Plus, I hate big, tall plinths. I like statues to be approachable, and that's what I want Emily to be, approachable. People can sit beside her, they can look at her, they can learn more about her. And if they've got their own problems, they can maybe pretend they're talking on their mobile phones and discuss them with her and sort things out in their own heads, sort of thing, because she'd love that. She really would have loved that. She was a very approachable woman, great sense of humour, very well liked, lots of friends. I don't know if Sarah told you that she actually lost some of her teeth with force feeding and was semi-paralysed in one side of her mouth. So I've tried to depict that without her looking too grim. So I was chosen as the sculptor for doing Emily about, it must be 3.5 years ago now. And I was recapping it with Sarah this morning when we were on a photo shoot in a square. So actually in the square, I was there with Philippa, who is the great niece, I think, too great, of Emily, taking photos, because I discussed with Sarah and I discussed together that we wanted her sitting on a bench. So I got Philippa sitting in costume on the bench, taking lots of photos. After doing that, I then went and had the first meeting with the committee and met other members of the family and everybody else that was involved. Showed them the photographs, discussed what I was doing, and from that very quickly got to work on doing the maquette, because I felt it was very important that Epsom saw what we had in mind in the early days and would help with fundraising. So that was, 3.5 years ago, a long, long time ago. Well, I decided she was going to be sitting. I wanted somebody to sit beside her, so therefore she wasn't going to sit straight facing forward. She had to be slightly angled so that it's more comfortable for somebody to sit beside her and have a conversation. Also, if you do an oil painting of someone, a portrait, you have things in that oil painting to show the sort of person they are and a bit more of their history. So that's why on the bench, she's got her mortarboard and three of her favourite books. Now, that information was given to me by various historians. I've done a lot of research to learn as much as I possibly could, read loads and loads of books all about Emily, because it's not just a copy from photographs that I am depicting. I'm depicting a person. I've got to try and give the sculpture some of her spirit, some of her life, and tell more about the person. So she's got various medals and badges and things that she's wearing. The hat that she's wearing, I've modelled that on the hat, a photograph of the hat that she was wearing at the actual race course when she was knocked down by the King's Horse. So normally she would wear a mortarboard when she was marching. She isn't marching, she's sitting talking, looking very smart. She always looked very smart. And she's wearing that hat as a link with Epsom. So now we can actually slow down the actual film footage. We can see she didn't jump out in front of the horse. She walked in front of the horses, where there was quite a gap between the King's Horse was never going to win, it was way down the line. She walked in front of the horses to the centre of the course, turned, and she was going to be putting a sash onto the, put it on the reins of the horse.
Well, the suffragettes were activists, weren't they? But in today's society, activism is the wrong word, isn't it? They were campaigning for equality.
Exactly. And I think one of the important things that we're trying to do is to dispel any misapprehension that is left that she was on a suicide mission. That none of the evidence, especially as Christine says, the video evidence now, and other circumstantial evidence, and even stories that the family tell up in Morpeth about, you know, what her intentions were when she went down to the Derby. Suffragettes had disrupted other events before this, and it was part of the campaign to disrupt. It wasn't to martyr yourself. I think the WSPU, which was the Women's Social and Political Union that was headed by Emmeline Pankhurst, capitalised on her death to kind of, I think, you know, it was to their advantage to have a martyr, and that's how they kind of framed it. But I think, you know, now that's definitely not as far as we can tell. I mean, obviously, you know, we weren't there and we weren't interviewing Emily before this happened, but none of the evidence suggests that she was on a suicide mission.
And are you able to give us a bit of background about the suffragette movement?
You know, there are detractors who say, well, it was the First World War that got women the vote, because women had to, you know, fill in the jobs when the men went off to war. The suffragettes actually stopped their campaign, and they were supportive of the war. They, you know, they decided that they wanted to get behind the war to help in the war effort. So, you know, obviously the men went off to war, the women had to take the jobs, and they proved their worth. They proved that they could do these jobs. And I think it became untenable after the war to actually deny them the same rights as men, because they had filled in where the men weren't able to. So, you know, I think the suffragette movement was went a large part towards that, although, you know, obviously it didn't happen as a direct result of that, because the war happened.
Well, both of you, but Christine first, what would you like people to get out of seeing the statue when they come to Epsom?
I want young people to want to know more about the suffragettes, to want to know what battles women had to go through to get where we are today. It's been a long, hard battle with lots and lots of things to fight for. We're still fighting, actually. Not quite as hard. Things have got better. But with every statue that's depicting a famous person, a historical person, I would hope that they're there for a reason. They're there because Epsom can be proud of having her sitting in the market square. Possibly people will come to Epsom specifically to see that and do lots of shopping too. She's a very important person.
We do commemorate people with blue plaques. Do you think statues make the person, it's a bit more personable, isn't it? Because it's as if
yes.
a real you know, a person is sitting there.
Yeah, more human.
Yeah.
More... you can relate more to a person that's sitting there, although they're made out of bronze, more than you can to a blue plaque, because you can get an idea of what that person looked like, how that person would sit, what sort of clothes they were wearing. Yes, and want to learn more.
Also, I think it's a piece of art, and it, you know, for me as an artist, it's a great thing to have public art in the landscape, in the street scene. And I think it's much more arresting than a blue plaque. You know, people are going to look at it because of, you know, I mean, Christine's done an amazing job with the statue, and people are going to, she looks very realistic. In fact, somebody stopped me today and said he thought he was one of those actors that you get on the South Bank that pretends to be.
Oh, no.
So yeah, I mean, and I think that you can't even compare that with a blue plaque. You know, it's so much more.
And they can be hidden as well, can't they, blue plaques? Because they're often on houses that belong to other people now, and they're not public.
Well, and also the Old Cottage Hospital has a plaque on it saying this is where Emily died, but no one ever knows it's there because it's so hidden away. So you can't miss this. And I also should say that what we are going to do is we're going to have a QR code on it, because we wanted it to be an educational resource as well. So there's going to be a QR code that people can actually use their smartphones to access a podcast with much more detail about her life. So, you know, we wanted it to be more than just a statue, to actually be an educational resource. So school children can come and do a bit of a, you know, project on her or whatever. And so that, I think that's quite a unique feature of the statue, which we will be putting that in place over the next few months.
Definitely, that's amazing. Plus,
it's a statue of a woman, and there aren't a huge number of those in the country.
Do we know how many there are, roughly?
No, they're growing, it's growing.
And how long did she take for you to make? I mean, I don't even know where you'd begin, but how long was the process?
I started work on her in June last year, in the clay, in the armature, working right the way through lockdown. And then once I've done that and I've made the mould, then it goes off to the foundry, and then you've got at least another 3 or more months of work at the foundry. It is very, very complicated. Far too long to tell you all about it on a radio programme. You have to watch the videos.
We'll put the video on our website so people can see. And is this, is the bronze, is that something you're used to working with? Is that something you like working with?
I work in clay. Then I make a rubber mould with a resin and fiberglass jacket. And from that's in lots and lots of different sections. Then that mould goes to the foundry. And the foundry uses my mould to then cast her in green wax, fairly thick, probably about half inch thick throughout. That's then a sculpture of Emily in wax in the different sections. That is then dipped in a ceramic mix, white ceramic, again and again and again, so it's a thick layer of ceramic on the outside of the mould and the inside, on the outside of the, sorry, the wax, and on the inside. So the whole of the wax is coated in ceramic with lots of tubes also coated in ceramic. They become the runners and the risers, because what happens then with each piece of this mould then goes into a special oven that gently melts away the wax. So you then have a mould that is hollow. The wax is then reused to do other figures. Where the hollow is, then they're able to pour in the very hot bronze in through that. So then you've got all those sections that are then cast in bronze, coated in ceramic, which then has to be smashed off. It takes ages. Smashed off and drilled off. So you've got all these sections, then have all that done to it. Then it's all got to be welded together. And you have to make sure you put the arms the right way around and the head's not facing backwards, because they chop the head off. And have to put all that back. It's an awful lot of work involved.